I'm fascinated by this story. What can the Earth's history teach us about global warming today? Well, Scott Wing is here. He's the curator of fossil plants with the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C. He speaks today at the Simon Fraser University Forum called Deep Time, Global Change, and You. But first, Scott joins us here in Studio 10. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Welcome to Vancouver.
Well, thanks very much. It's a lot warmer here.
Yeah, than back east. So everything old is new again. The Earth has gone through this before. In layman's terms, what happened to this planet 56 million years ago?
Well, it got a shot of carbon into its atmosphere and oceans that was probably about the same size as burning the entire fossil fuel reservoir.
Where did that shot of carbon come from?
That's something we're working on. Don't really know yet. This is an event that's been known for a couple of decades by scientists, and we're still trying to figure that out. It may have come from carbon stored in the bottom of the ocean in part.
Really? So that carbon is what changed the world 56 million years ago. And of course, we as a society have put a lot of carbon into the atmosphere through cars and whatnot.
That's right.
And so we're going down the same path?
We are going down the same path in some ways. Of course, nothing ever happens exactly the same way twice. You know, Mark Twain said history doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme. So there are similarities from one time to another. And what we hope to do is use this event 56 million years ago to understand how carbon behaves in the atmosphere, how much it affects climate, how it affects organisms that live in the ocean and on land.
One of the theories, of course, is that there was a large meteorite or whatever hit the Earth and caused what they call a nuclear winter. Could that have been the cause?
That's an earlier event. There was a huge impact at the end of the age of dinosaurs and probably what took them out. But this is actually 10 million years after that, and it doesn't appear to be associated with any kind of impact. It's something that happens within the Earth's
wow.
system.
So how did life on Earth then adapt after this colossal change 56 million years ago?
It played chaos with a lot of systems. It changed the pH of the ocean just the way we expect our carbon to change the pH of the ocean. It changed where plants and animals lived. It moved plants and animals from the Gulf Coast of the U.S. all the way up into Canada. So it really had a profound effect. At the end of this period of time, it lasted for a couple of 100,000 years. So it wasn't a short blip, but things did eventually get back more or less the way they had been before.
Which of these effects, though, were temporary and which were long-term?
That's a terrific question. There are short-term evolutionary changes. So the mammals, many of the mammals got their body size got very small. So they basically dwarfed during this event. That reversed itself within a couple hundred thousand years or less. The pH of the ocean seems to have recovered. The climate got very warm and then cooled down again. So those things went back, but then many of the changes in where organisms live. So if an animal or plant species went from Asia to North America at that time, it stayed in North America. So those things never reversed.
So what are some of the marks we see today on Earth that are a result of this massive carbon release so many millions of years ago?
Well, the very first members of our own order of mammals, the primates, show up exactly at this event. The first horses, the first relatives or ancestors of sheep and goats and pigs, they all show up right at this event. So there's some kind of very interesting movement of plants and animals around the world, and that had a profound effect that we still see today.
So, Scott, you learned all this from fossils.
Right.
You and other paleontologists. So what can fossils teach us today about global warming now?
Well, it's a really interesting thing. You know, we're just a couple of decades into realizing how profound our effects are on the planet. And a lot of geologists are talking about something called the Anthropocene or Anthropocene, depends on how you want to pronounce it. But this is the recognition that humans are having a really profound and pervasive influence on the whole planet. It's really a new geological era. And it kind of makes you think differently about all the problems that we face.
It's not really global warming. That's a misnomer. It's climate change.
And
we're told that climate is cyclical. It changes all the time. Is there a link between the carbon and profound evolutionary change and the climate?
Absolutely. There's clearly a link between the carbon and the temperature of the planet, and there's a link between climate and evolution. Those things are related to one another very, very closely. And we are getting into that kind of territory right now. What we hope to use the past to do is to understand better how the system works, so we can study things that have events that are already over with. And we also are, we don't really know how long many of these effects will last. We think thousands, tens of thousands of years into the future. The only way to really establish how long the changes that we're making are going to echo into the future is by looking back to see how long it took the last time it happened.
Why haven't we learned anything from this? Why do we still treat the planet the way we do?
I think we are learning something from it. It's just taking
us— Are we too late?
No. No, it's never too late. We have a lot of changes that we can make. And actually, I take a lot of hope from studying the past, because you realize how resilient the Earth system is. We have to be responsible. We have to figure out how to work with the system instead of against it.
So, Scott, what do you wish people today understood about climate change that they don't already?
They need to think that it's serious. They need to think that it's not the end of the world, and they need to think that they can help solve the problem, that we need to know enough about how the planet works so that we can make it come out the way we want it to come out, not the way we didn't even think about how it would turn out. We need to be more conscious of our effect on the planet.
Fascinating stuff. Enjoy your stay here in Vancouver.
It's beautiful to be here.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah. Thanks.
Scott Wing, curator of fossil plants with the National Museum of Natural History at the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C. And he's speaking at SFU tonight to open a lecture series called Deep Time, Global Change, and You. 11 minutes now before 7 o'clock.